Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, welcome to The Back Chat, our discussion programme following Tuesday's episode of The Backstory. I'm Claire and I'm here, cupper in hand, with Susie.
Hello, thanks for joining us. So we're going to be talking about marrying a stranger, which is Hina's episode. Okay, Claire, I would quite like an arranged marriage, and I think I have quite a lot of friends who feel the same. I think people are yearning for something different. What do you think about Hina's decision?
Well, you're married already, Susie.
Well, yeah. Now, I mean, if I was looking for a relationship, let's just clarify that.
Well, I think actually Hina's marriage was really arranged marriage. I think was very understandable. She had kind of had a sort of series of things, obviously, that had happened to her, hadn't she, with her first marriage kind of going wrong. And then that kind of loneliness in London. And I think just that warmth of kind of arriving in Lahore and suddenly people really being bothered, like, you know, about this thing that she'd been kind of going through on her own of wanting a partner. And it's quite flattering, isn't it, when somebody actually kind of sort of says, oh, you know, like, maybe I could introduce you to somebody. And I think also because it wasn't done forcefully or anything, it was very much like, you know, here are a few options. Like, if you want to take them up, you know, then do, and if not, then fine, you know. And I think then obviously when Cam actually spoke to her and like made that effort and she found him attractive, yeah, I guess many people might well be very tempted in that situation, like by that prospect, particularly, you know, given that she'd been single for quite a while.
Yeah, it kind of makes me think that dating, you know, as a lot of people are doing it now, must be quite an isolating experience to go through, you know, when you're meeting people that maybe nobody else knows and you haven't really got anybody to kind of talk about that person with. You're just going on your own judgment, aren't you? You know, it's somebody that you've never met before and all you've really got to go on is your own judgment. Whereas Hina's situation evolved differently, you know, that sense of the families perhaps knowing each other and also that sense of maybe wanting someone else to be involved in matching you, which reminds me of Married at First Sight, which was on Channel 4, where basically single people were matched by a panel and agreed to get married to whoever they were matched to and then met for the first time at the altar.
Which brings us nicely on to the fact that Mark, your brother, was on that programme doing his role as psychologist. And we had an interview with him earlier in the week on Skype. So, yeah, bear with the sound on this.
Well, arranged marriage is a really interesting idea. Obviously, they're quite an old idea. Our modern view of what marriage is, that it's sort of two people who kind of find each other and get to know each other and fall in love, is a very sort of recent invention. And arranged marriages predate this. I think one of the great advantages of them is they effectively remove choice from the individual. It's not to say it's always a good idea, but it's something that can actually be far more beneficial than many people believe.
Yeah, I can really relate to that too much choice thing. Like, it's not always good. And certainly that's what I found when I was dating.
I think as well, the technology just really changes people's behavior. You know, I've been told by friends who are dating that actually if you're in a bar, it doesn't seem to be the done thing to strike up a conversation with a real live person who's there in front of you. Everybody's in the bar on their phone looking for who's on whatever app that might be close by, but they're not actually looking up around them. It's just bizarre, isn't it?
How do you think Tinder and apps like that have changed our approach to dating and relationships?
I think they're a bad thing. I think they've provided us with so much choice that it becomes bewildering. On the surface of it, they seem like a good idea. You know, more choice always seems like a nice thing to have. But when you're faced with that sort of magnitude, when you're faced with the possibility of hundreds of thousands of potential partners rather than just a small number, then I think we get paralyzed. We always know that there's going to be something better just around the corner or after the next swipe. And so we're endlessly looking for something and are less likely to be satisfied with what we get.
I'm really intrigued, Susie, as to whether like these new apps are so good for both sexes. Like, because I know like girlfriends of mine who've just got so dissatisfied so quickly with Tinder. Like, but I just wonder if they're more suited to guys. I did actually ask Mark about this.
I think that's a really interesting question. The research evidence about choice generally, so not just about mate selection, but about choice in all sorts of things, suggests that there are no strong sex differences. I think one of the interesting things, of course, is that men and women have evolved somewhat differently. We've got different priorities when it comes to relationships. So that will be reflected in the way in which we might behave. And I think one of the big criticisms of apps like Tinder is that they are far more suited to a male kind of dating than they are to a female kind of dating.
I also really think that these apps must mean that people are investing less in the opportunities that come their way. You know, when you go on a date or when you meet someone, that sense of, you know, there are always other options must mean that people's investment just isn't maybe what it used to be.
Yeah, definitely. Like, that was the really overriding thing that I felt when I was dating in London. Like, I was just like, oh my God, it just felt like you're on this conveyor belt the whole time. And actually, it was such a breath of fresh air when I met the man who became my husband, because he had been introduced to me as a friend of a friend. And so it's sort of like we both were putting in quite a lot of investment, and that really helped.
So how was that different then, being introduced by friends? How did it feel different?
It felt like we knew each other slightly already, and we certainly were like, we looked at each other's Facebook pages and blah, blah, blah. And I think it just was nice because then we had somebody to go back and talk to about the person, and everyone, it felt like both sort of families and groups were kind of like, oh, this is interesting, what's going to happen here? And so therefore there was just that natural investment. And also because Patrick wasn't dating like online or what have you, he like was, you know, he was much more invested in meeting me, I think, because he saw this as a real opportunity as well. Whereas like a lot of the guys I was meeting at the time were just like, oh yeah, you're like the fourth girl I've met this week, and you know, you're not as pretty as the other three. So yeah, it's kind of like, it was real breath of fresh air.
You can see those strong similarities, can't you? You can see those real correlations with Hina's situation, where that, you know, that feeling of being able to talk about this person with somebody else, and that feeling that maybe the, I don't know, just some sense of matching going on. I think linked to that is this thing about arranged marriage, kind of feeling that the families are also committing into it in some way.
Yeah, I mean, if the families don't know each other at all, then they might have really different outlooks or values. And it's something that we asked Mark about.
You are, when you get into a relationship with somebody, it's not just about two people. You're kind of bringing two families into collision with each other. And if you're doing that in complete isolation from your families, then it can work, but it can also be difficult and challenging. And perhaps the sort of the older, more traditional view of marriage, which is it was much more the cementing of a union between two families rather than just two individuals, is, you know, one way of making the process a lot easier and smoother.
I love talking to Hina about her father, like, because she said that she only had to be 70% sure, like there was no certainty.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of things like that. I think sometimes we're looking for 100%, we're looking for absolute certainty, and it must have been really reassuring for her to get that message from her father that actually that's just unachievable, and it's okay to go with something where you don't necessarily know the outcome.
Yeah, definitely. And I think like the fact that the families knew each other probably just gave her that like little bit of confidence that she needed to just, you know, I think she says jump off the cliff or whatever and, you know, commit sort of thing. So you've got a question, haven't you?
Yeah, we've had a question from Laura. Thank you, Laura. She wanted to know about that period between, so they had, Hina and Cam had the nikah over the phone, and then they had a period of, I think it was about a week, where they had almost like a courtship, even though they'd had the nikah already, but before they had their marriage ceremony over in Lahore. And Laura's question was about what they would have done had they basically not got on well during that week. Would they have gone ahead with the marriage ceremony?
Gosh, yeah, that's a really good question. And I suppose it's not one that I can kind of really answer. But I did have an interesting conversation with my book club the other night. And they were saying how, you know, they were surprised by how they would all have been kind of vaguely up for an arranged marriage. But that perhaps the big thing was that, you know, you don't have sex before you get married. And, you know, I think Hina was making it pretty clear in that like bit about the courtship that, you know, they don't have, they were very much not, you know, in a sort of full relationship at that point either. So, you know, there are certain things that you just literally have to, you know, well.
So what were they actually saying at book club, that they wanted to kind of try before you buy?
Something like that.
Okay, so I feel like we need to have some good tangible dating tips to come out of this programme, Claire. Let's hear from Mark to begin with.
Well, it's a long time since I dated, but I think there is lots of actually quite good advice on most of the major dating websites. So, for instance, arrange to meet in a neutral place that neither of you is necessarily all that familiar with, and have a time-limited date. So say that regardless of how badly or well it goes, that after 45 minutes you will say your goodbyes, and then you can both independently make a decision about whether to have the all-important second date. I think also we really benefit from knowing ourselves a little bit. A lot of people think they understand themselves, and they think that they know what they're looking for in a partner. But our experience is often what that means is that they have simply had a lot of relationships with a particular type that haven't worked. And so sometimes we simply don't experiment. So we should keep our eyes much wider open and much be much more open to new experiences and different kinds of people. Because until we've actually, if you like, sampled the field, it can be very difficult to know what actually works for you.
Okay, have you got anything that you can add to that?
Well, I suppose I slightly, like I've already said, like the investment and the introductions from friends. I do think like you can get really on that treadmill of being, you know, going on the internet and what have you. And sometimes it's quite good to break free from that and just actually say to some of your friends, you know, have you got anybody to introduce me to? Or certainly mine happened on like New Year's Day, and like my friends were just like, actually, Claire, like, it's, you know, it's a whole new year, you've got to meet somebody this year. And that's when they kind of put their heads together and came up with like my husband. So yeah, I think, you know, that's a really good thing. And actually, we should all be doing it for our friends. Like, apparently it earns you a place in, like, I don't know, heaven or something in some religions.
Party season coming up as well, Christmas and New Year coming up. It's a really good time to, you know, maybe set people up at parties and so on. Okay, well, I'm not really good on the tips, but I think if I had to choose one, it would be that there's more to attraction than just what you can see on a screen. I think there's no substitute for getting out there and meeting people in real life.
Right, join us next time for What Are the Chances, the next episode of The Backstory, which comes out on the 5th of December with Zoe and Emma and their really unusual friendship.
We are The Backstory Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, at The Backstory Pod on Twitter. Please get in contact. Let us know your thoughts. We love hearing from you. See you next time.
Bye. Don't forget our featured That's When You Get a Dog podcast. We recommend you have a listen. Check it out on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently, so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.